My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel. I'm joined by David McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of April, 2025. This is episode 356. The Super J-Cast is finishing. We're not doing it about wrestling anymore. It's going to be a podcast about instant noodles. Yeah, what's your favorite instant noodle, Damon?
What are we doing?
No, April Fools, everyone. I got you.
You're a goose. You're a silly goose.
I tricked everyone with a funny joke.
You really did. You know what? It was clever. It was smart and timely. Yeah, a day late, but timely nonetheless. I'm not a big fan of the April Fools, are you?
No, I did a good one on my class, though. There's this BBC comedy series called Look Around You, which is like a pastiche of 1980-style educational videos, like the kind that you or I might have watched when we were in school. Mm-hmm. And there's an episode about maths, but it's like, it's all wrong, and it's very funny. So I just played that. I was like, right, class, got a really good video from the BBC that's going to go over a lot of concepts we've been learning about. Get your books open, ready, and... Yeah, played that for them. I was just like playing it dead serious, like completely no selling it, and they're just getting increasingly confused. And then some of them started laughing, and some of them got it.
Who was the first student to pick up on it to be like, wait a minute, this is bullshit?
The smartest kid, good. Yeah, the most intelligent one. He got it, and he was pissing himself. So I was just like, yes, at least one person's got it.
There you go. Give that boy extra credit. Give that fine student of yours extra points in the ledger. If you will. All right,
it flashes up on the screen. Maths stands for Mathematical Anti-Telharsic Halfatum Septonin. And I'm like, right, write that down in your books, everyone. And they're writing it down.
Are they really? Oh, you got all those dummies in your class too, don't you? Dope.
It's just very trusting.
I guess. Or you're teaching special ed or something. I don't know. Well, look.
She fits.
I know. Well, listen, I'm... I think I was probably, you know what? I started out in our school systems. We had, do you have a thing called a gifted and talented? Do you have that one? Where you're just outshining, you're just bulldozing past the current lessons of the day. So they moved me up a class. And this was like in second grade, first grade. They skipped me and moved me up. Then when I moved, they brought me back down with kids my age.
Oh, no.
Well, that's probably good, honestly. But yeah. That first year was a fucking breeze. I mean,
okay.
They made it. I mean, I was like, the teachers were just like, ah, what? It, trust me, Joe, it's definitely leveled out. In fact,
is that where you peaked?
Yeah. In fact, I would say I'm borderline special. Let's put it that way.
Do you have that on your CV? Your resume, were you?
Bulldozed through second grade. Yep, I got that front and center, the bullet point. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you. I don't know why I was going to bring up the job market for whatever reason, but who gives a fuck? What's going on? What's going on in your world? Anything good?
Not particularly. Nothing that I want to go into I've discussed it with you off the air.
You have
dragged the readers down into my.
Is it? Can you do me a favor? Can you just give me a? Has it gotten better, worse, or pretty much the same?
It's a crushed C12 vertebrae, and the fact that it was the crushedness is new information. So when we found that out, we're like, I don't know what the prognosis is for that, but. Yeah, send your well wishes to Mummy Joel, everybody, because she's not doing so good.
That's hot, dude. Well, again, we're not talking about it live on the air.
No, right? We're not talking about
what
it.
What happened? You literally gave the whole thing away. I tried to dance around a little bit. You just went, I'm jumping
what,
right
what
in.
What did you want? Like, how could
I don't know.
I don't how know could you. I possibly have dealt with that without going into
because I said, here's how I gave it to you. If we want to rewind the clock here, I said, your situation, is it better, worse, or the same? All you had to say was, a little worse. And I would have been like, sorry about that. And then we would have moved on to fucking.
There's no point. It's pointless. My mum fell down the stairs, and when she fell down the stairs backwards and banged her head and hurt her back, and she's in hospital, and that's not great. It's not great of all the things that happened.
No.
But we went to visit her, so there was that.
Can we send flowers or a nice gift, something she would enjoy, something she would, a book maybe, or I don't know. What would she like? What would she like?
She likes Diet Coke. What do you want? I'll bring you whatever you want. She's a Diet Coke and some some Sprite Zero. I was like, that I can do.
That's all. Yeah, well, I mean, that's. Yes. She's a simple woman. I like that. But seriously.
But the problem is, every time we go and visit her, we're there because we go after school and that's her dinner time at the hospital. And my children always eat her food. Like, they bring her food out and they're like, oh, can I try some of that, Grandma? Can I have some? And she's too nice to say no. I'm like, get away from her food. This is the only solid meal she's going to get all day. And they're just like vultures hovering around.
Yeah, you're going to do chicken nuggets, man? Oh, you've raised a pack of ghouls is what you've done. Oh, well, look. Seriously, I mean, we'll talk off the air. But if you know. Send her something nice.
The best thing that you listeners can do is go to patreon.com.
You know,
sign up to the $10 tier. If you're already signed up, make a duplicate account and sign up again.
Yeah.
That's all good.
You know, I have it on good.
There's
have
no
good
direct work. Impact on my mum, but it will make me feel happier. So there's that kind of. Indirectly helps her, doesn't it? If her son's happy, then that makes her happy, right?
Well,
right?
I have it on good word that she texted me and said, I said, do you need anything? And she was like, you know, Diet Coke. And what would make me really happy is if more people signed up on the $10 tier at patreon.com/.
Yeah, I think that is clinically proven to speed up the healing process of a crushed vertebrae.
Yes, crushed vertebrae. Oof. I will say this, though. Or ask this. Drugs are probably really good, though.
So the thing is, she's got a history of having abused opioids. So the painkillers are not doing what they probably should. So I'm there with the doctor's like, you got to be careful with the opioids because they're really strong and you'll get seriously constipated if you take too many. So only ask them if the pain is unmanageable. And I'm sort of looking at her like, you hear that, mum? Unmanageable. And I was like saying to whispers, like, she's got a very different definition of what unmanageable is.
Her scale. She's on the John Belushi scale. Oh boy. Well, listen, we're striking out here. All right. Listen, $10 tier. This is turned into a bit, but it really isn't. I just want to let everyone know we're not fucking ghouls. Okay, we're not. But it would help, you know. Just saying, you know, why have more people suffer? You know, let's not let start the chain of healing through a $10 donation through Patreon.
Okay? Pay it forward. Exactly. You can start that by getting your fucking wallet out. So.
There you go. You know, you can help a human being suffering by getting inside scoop about the New Japan Pro Wrestling locker room.
Oh, yeah. And there's been some good stuff in the deli this week.
Yes. Yes. Listen, I'm always, again, it's sometimes it's a little, you know, but yeah, there's some tasty morsels in there. It's always good. I always love that. I always love waking up to seeing like, oh, wow, jeez. I love that. I love that 7 a.m. look at the 42 on my notifications and say, I got to scroll through all this. Can I get to the good? Is there any ChatGPT?
Is there anything interesting in that?
Please summarize these 48 texts into the most important things. Yes. No. But yeah, always is good. We can see that. Good shit there. All right. Are we done plugging? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done plugging.
All right. Where should we go first as I take a sip from my iced tea and lemonade concoction?
Right. So this is a story that did pop up yesterday on April Fool's Day. I don't think it's an April Fool's. So it was a Tokyo Sports piece where Tetsuya Naito has said that his contract expired on January the 31st. So he's been working without a contract since then. And I think it was a fourth round of negotiations expected to take place soon. So this is a roughly translated quote. And I haven't decided what I'll do if I quit. But when I was younger, I thought maybe I'll retire at around 40. And it's true that I can't do things now that I was able to do a few years ago because of my physical decline. I really feel that the time I have left is limited. Rather than continuing some weird dissatisfaction, I feel like it might be better to just do things the way I want to. I'm feeling at ease because I'm saying what I want to say. I haven't decided whether to sign or not, but if I feel like, okay, I'll be in the New Japan ring for another year, I'll sign. But if I have doubts, I won't. So I want to cherish how I feel at the time. In short, tranquilo. Don't try to mediate. Mm-hmm. So the whispers going around that he is not alone. There are a lot of people in New Japan working without contracts.
Yeah.
Which I find slightly alarming. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe this is just how they do things now. But like hearing Naito of all people working without a contract. Not that I think he's necessarily a flight risk or anything, but that's a bit scary, isn't it? Not him specifically, but just hearing that.
Yeah,
wrestlers working under a contract seems to be a very, very small minority with New Japan at the moment. That is, like that. That doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. And it's. I think sometimes it's more of a secure feeling, so to speak, in the sense of, you know, you kind of want to lock down certain people, and you do want to have them under your banner so you can, you know, run shows and angles and storylines and, you know, have a vision for the future and all that fun stuff without having fear of, by the way, that guy you had main event in 2 weeks, he's leaving. What? That being
sorry, I was just reading this transcript of it from Fightful. Is this Naito is one half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions alongside Hirumo Takahashi.
Listen, I'm not going to Fightful for my New Japan news. We're all. I mean, it's,
yeah. I don't know why that's so funny, Hirumo. It's just tickled me.
It's all right. Come on, they're trying.
I'm getting flashbacks of the holiday, Christopher Mace.
Oh Lordy Lou, what a time! What a time! You know, not for nothing. Coincidentally, our numbers probably went down after that. Ugh. Look, it's not a good look. Yes. Yes, everyone is still has worries from every other previous time when this stuff has come up. I don't think Kevin Knight is the be all to end all when it comes to this.
I'm going
to
come towards him. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Again. All right. But again, it's just a comfort thing for fans, I think. To look, this whole game is about you investing your time, energy. You wouldn't be listening to this now on YouTube or on the $10 tier or just whenever we fucking feel like uploading. You wouldn't be listening to this content if you didn't have an emotional investment in the product. And it makes you feel good that, oh, you're investing your time, energy, all that into something that might have some legs, as opposed to, well, I don't really fucking know. And I will also say this. I don't know about you. I'm speaking about me. I can't put words in your mouth, nor anyone else. But it does feel Bush League. It does feel Dennis Carluzzo is running the show. If for those who know, you know. It doesn't feel like what a, and I'll put in air quotes, real promotion do this.
It makes it harder for us to run with the anti-AEW agenda.
Oh, sure.
They're stealing all of our talent when they're all working with that contract.
Right. There's really not a lot of stealing at that point, is there? It's more of, hey, you busy Friday night? Nope. All right. I got something for you to do. So, yeah, it does. I mean, how do you defend that? Like, what, how, that's my question. Like, how do you as a fan defend that? Like, there's not even the most wacky New Japan pro wrestler, supporter, fan, maniac, could possibly make that a positive spin unless we had nothing but aging veterans snapping their legs when they get in the fucking ring. And it's like, okay, well, you know, we have to rebuild anyway, so I'm going to toodaloo. I'm not re-signing you. We don't have that.
But it's good to see we can still dig into the funds to pay Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale several times what they're worth.
Well, that is, yeah. I tell you what. It's not often that we see him, but when I don't think Chase Owens to me goes back to and Fale, you know, goes back to like how divided people, like I guess my point is this: we talk a fuck ton about Chase Owens, and he shows up two times a year. If I'm Chase Owens, I'm giggling all the way to the fucking bank. I swear to God, I'd be like, I cannot believe how many people give a fuck what I do. As the $100 bills fall out of his pocket. Uh-oh. What happened?
My dear wife has just brought me a hot drink.
Ooh, what do you got?
Well, I couldn't be bothered to mute.
No problem.
I made a judgment call. She opened the door and I just had to read the expression on her face and I thought, is she here to create problems on purpose, or is she here to give me a lovely drink? And
I heard everything you said upstairs.
Yes.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
Say anything bad? Yeah. What's
okay? Oh, all right. Can I say this? I'm not coming to your house. It's going to be too noisy. No. I'll never get any sleep. She's going to walk into our room. She's going to sneeze. Yeah, right.
The cat will probably attack you. The children will eat your food. It will be a disaster.
I know. The kids are going to eat all the food. It's going to be terrible. Oh, boy. All right.
What have you brought for me, darling? What's my drink?
What do you got?
Did I say that's your drink? I didn't say anything about your drink.
Oh, so it's not my drink?
You don't have any drink. That's both of mine.
She's brought down two hot drinks, and she says they're both hers.
Well, what do you think about I'm nice to you? I'm never nice to you, Joe. I'm a horrible.
Wow, nobody said that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, she did just take her top off in front of me. So even if neither of these drinks are for me, then I'm still winning.
You damn right. Did she? Are you bullshitting? She walked in and she took off her shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, good girl.
She's putting her pajamas on.
Nice job.
We're getting full frontal nudity here.
Wow.
This is great. It's much better than whatever the fuck we were talking about.
I know. These fucking guys running around. Seeing
titties.
Pretending to fight. Yeah. Bronskis. Let's go. I'm talking about your wife. I apologize. I won't. All right. If you can. What are we doing? If you can.
Coming off now.
Oh, what?
It's getting good.
Oh, no. She's going to be like. She's. Oh, no. I got it. Oh, this is not good. People, this is like a live sex show.
It's lucky the camera's not on. Thank I'll just God. Say that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you what, all seven of our listeners have got a boner right now. They're all engulfed. Good job. All right. I woke everybody up. Is that a first? That might be a first.
May not be the first time it's happened. It's the first time I've drawn attention to it.
Okay. It probably happens every fucking time. All right. Very good. All right. Contract. That's that. What else we got?
It's Kevin Knight. So, yeah, Kevin Knight signed with AEW. And people have a lot of feelings about this one. And you know, I get that. I will say, right, first off, there is a decent chance that this doesn't actually change much as far as his New Japan appearances go, because let's be real, it's not like he was getting booked with much frequency prior to this.
Right.
So, you know, it wouldn't stun me if he's still in Best of the Super Juniors this year. So I'm not taking this news as like, oh man, we're never going to see Kevin Knight ever again in the Cerulean ring. And if he does become a star in AEW, then that him not appearing for New Japan is more likely to pan out. But for now, I do think that New Japan door is still very much open. But it is news that has upset quite a lot of people. And I get it, because lots of us had high hopes for Kevin Knight, myself included. I've been a fan and advocate of his since he started at the LA Dojo. And I hoped that he could go on to do big things in New Japan. But to be brutally honest, I do think it's probably a good move for everyone here, because as much as I've enjoyed him in New Japan, he's not yet taken that next step. He's not had that standout singles match that's made us sit up and go, oh, this is the guy, right? Off the top of your head, Damon, putting you on the spot, what's his best singles match in New Japan?
Probably that nonsense Philly J-Cup thing against Mike Bailey. If you want to count that, right? That was
best
that
match
was,
in Japan?
All right, let's put it this way. Name me a singles match in Japan.
Well, yeah, this is the thing, right? And he's worked a couple of Best of the Super Juniors, so
right.
You know, he's not been the most pushed guy, but you would hope working against nine of the best, ostensibly junior heavyweight wrestlers, that there would be at least one match that we could hang our hat on and go, yeah, that was awesome. Because I mean, none of them were terrible, and some were good, but none of them are sticking in my mind. So, look, I'm not saying he's a bad worker or anything. No. Far from it, but the New Japan Junior division is pretty stacked. And if I'm honest, I don't know if he cracks like the top 15.
Oh, he does. Come on. Yeah. 15?
Well, we can sit and we can make a list. He's not in the top 10, is he?
I'd probably put him in the top 10.
Like, all right, well, your mileage may vary on that, but my point still stands. And he's got some way to go. He's got a great look.
Yes.
Lovely drop kick, but
yes.
There's not much else there. Right?
Oh, I think you're shortchanging him. I think he's very good. And I think I think where the problem is, Joel, is not in so much that, okay, he hasn't done a lot in New Japan and he hasn't, it's not like he's been there a full-time guy, all that, right? But if given the opportunity to be a guy like that, I think he would shine. I think he would.
Okay.
Right? I think
that's fair. Like, he might get there. He's 28 years old, so plenty of room for growth. And I think AEW is a better fit for him.
I do.
But he never hit those heights in New Japan, or hadn't done yet. Like, they're not no sort of killer best of the Super Juniors matches you can point to and say this guy was a nailed on prodigy who should have been locked down to a big money contract. And look, as we've been discussing, that is not how New Japan Pro Wrestling operate their business these days, because we talked about the notable lack of contracts being offered to the very top guys in their company. So unless you're dead set on making it in New Japan by moving out there, living in Japan, learning the language, committing yourself to it full time, like some of his LA Dojo counterparts, then you're not going to get the volume of bookings in Japan. And look, maybe he didn't want that. Maybe he was happy enough splitting his time between the US and Japan. Or maybe he wants to spend more time in the US and less time in Japan. We have no idea, unless he speaks about it publicly. And let's be honest, in all likelihood, any offer there might have been from New Japan was probably going to be shit money. So he is much better off getting the bag from Tony, where he can potentially still do New Japan dates if he wants to from time to time, rather than having to slum it in the indies to make ends meet or getting swallowed into the NXT massive lost soul. So can't blame him for taking the offer. Good for him. Hope he works out. Hope he does go to become a star. I like the guy. Can't blame Tony Khan for taking a punt on him. And I can't blame New Japan for not locking him down to a deal. And I can see why people would be disappointed by this news. And I would have loved to have seen him become a star in New Japan. But honestly, I think it's his best move for all parties.
I'm in full agreement. And like I said, the biggest thing I am disappointed in is the fact that the opportunities weren't there. Whether again, as you brought up, and the point that I think needs to be hammered home is maybe he can't be a full-time committed 100%. I'm in Japan learning the, maybe life won't allow him to do that. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. If we did not mention and no one mentioned that he was not, you know, he was signed by AEW and nobody just let the cat out of the bag. I don't think we would see any difference in what his New Japan output has been and to what it potentially could be. I really don't think it's going to be one of those things where he's going to be never on a show. You know, he's going to be on plenty of New Japan shows, and he gets to be on US TV, and he gets to make a little bit extra money. Probably not even a little bit. And you're right. The offer that he probably got from AEW I'll throw a significantly more than what he could possibly make full time in New Japan. I'll just throw it out there without even looking at the numbers. I could be dead wrong, but I think logic kind of points me in that direction. So, we're not losing Kevin Knight. We just don't have him signed. That's all. It's not that bad.
All right. Here's a follow-up question here from Daryl, who says, discuss, can we name one guy that has left New Japan in the last 10 years who has had better matches or presentation or has been more interesting after leaving?
Great
not question. More money. Everyone is getting that. I mean, in terms of how the character is being presented. Daryl suggests AJ Styles, possibly.
See, that's tough because I don't watch a ton of WWE. In fact, I watch Zilcho. But that being said, I mean, he is in high profile matches. He has, you know, been on big shows in high profile matches, which automatically catapults you to a level of pro wrestling stardom that you are not going to have unless you have that. AJ, maybe. Would you consider Cody in that conversation?
Yeah, someone did mention Cody on Blue Sky, but I don't think you could count him as a New Japan guy.
Fair.
Although I still maintain that Cody's best match was the... Yeah, I was going to say his match with Ibushi, Wrestle Kingdom 12, I think is bell-to-bell best match he's ever had. But people might fight me on that one. I'm not going to dump that.
Fine. Yeah. I'm not going to. Imagine getting in an argument over Cody Rhodes. Let me think of one more name. Like, all right, I'll throw it out there. Oh, I got one. Young Bucks.
Yeah, again, do you class them as New Japan guys?
Oh, God, yeah, come on.
All right, okay. We'll give them that then.
Bullet Club, junior tag. They sniffed a little bit on the heavies for a little bit, even when they were there before they went to involved in, you know, big time faction. I mean, it helps being an executive vice president. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Those three are fine. Good question, though.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Daryl. So let's get into previewing upcoming show. So we're kicking things off on Friday, this Friday, April 4th.
Wow.
With Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves presents Road to Sakura Genesis 2025 Junior Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a question related to the sponsorship of this show. So, listeners, you may be aware Fatal Fury is a fighting game. I think it was sort of started around the same time as Street Fighter did, early 90s. And this is the latest iteration, City of the Wolves, which is a sequel to the very popular cult favourite Garou, Mark of the Wolves. And Aramitha says, gamer Joel question, who do you want to see in City of the Wolves? So I'll tell you who I didn't want to see in City of the Wolves. So, yeah, this is a Japanese fighting game franchise, Damon.
Okay.
And the latest character they've just announced for this game is footballer Cristiano Ronaldo.
What?
Yeah.
That's the last name I would have expected. I thought you were going to go like so Abdul jarring. The Butcher or whatever.
No.
Wow.
So my understanding is that the parent company, SNK, has been brought up by the Saudis. And Cristiano Ronaldo has also been brought up by the Saudis. So this is just part of their ongoing plot to just gain soft power and sort of legitimize themselves in the eyes of the West. But yeah, having Cristiano Ronaldo in a fighting game is not going to make me overlook some of the bad things that that regime have done. So,
you know what his special move is?
Go on.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. Being Messi's bitch.
Oh, oh no, he didn't.
Boom, whammo. Huh? That's pretty good.
Who would I like to see in City of the Wolves? I would like to see some of my favourites from the Fatal Fury franchise. I used to be a fan of Franco Bash, who was an Italian-American kickboxer, and was by all accounts a rubbish character, but as a child I thought he was really good. And Hon Fu, who was like a bumbling Hong Kong cop, very much like sort of a homage to Jackie Chan. So either of those I would like in City of the Wolves, not any Saudi Arabian propaganda characters. Thank you very much. Right.
Hey, before you move on, I was wondering, I saw it, I meant to send this to you. Send this to you. Have you seen like people who do like mods of video games, and I'll fast forward to somebody made a mod of Streets of Rage 2. First of all, what's the character in the denim jacket and the orange mohawk that you fight all the time in Streets of Rage? What's the guy's name?
Jack?
Yeah, that's one of the JAK or something like that. Yeah. Okay, that's a side thing. Great. So this mod puts wrestlers in. So it's like Randy Savage Ted DiBiase and shit. I was like, holy fuck, I got to find this. I meant to send this to you so you can put it on your fucking system. Play.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. And apparently Randy Savage, they have one where it is Randy Savage. And his special move is actually a fart. I swear to God. He bends over and the guy flies. What? Like, he fucking gets knocked out. I was like,
look, listen, you get Lanny Poffo in there and then we're talking.
Big cock, Lanny. All right. Let's move on, please. I'm sorry.
All right. So, Road to Sacrogenesis, Junior Genesis. This is at Korakuen Hall this Friday. We're kicking things off with Katsuya Murashima and Ninja Mac versus Koroku Yuya, I don't know who that is, and Mao from DDT. So do you think we will get Ninja Mac and or Mao in Best of the Super Juniors? I've not heard anything either way, but the scuttlebutt is that Mao does not have any DDT work scheduled during Best of the Super Juniors time.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think he's quite good, Mao.
Yeah.
Meow.
Meow. I wouldn't say no. And I would say that this company does have a history of having, I wouldn't say weird invites and weird entries. So why not? Let's have some fun and say sure. Why not? Yes, in.
Second match is Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Kinship. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Ryusuke Taguchi.
I thought this was a junior show. What the fuck?
Yeah, Tanahashi's cutting weight. He's getting on.
Yeah, be great.
Getting into Best of the Super Juniors. He had a match actually main eventing today's show. It was a Road 2 show against Shingo Takagi. A lot of people were quite critical of that match. They said it wasn't any good, but I enjoyed it. Admittedly, after I saw those reviews, I went in with low expectations. But I thought it was quite good. I think the Tanahashi formula is better on this retirement tour with shorter matches. And this one went, I don't know, about 22 minutes or something. It was long compared to what Tanahashi's been doing lately. But it didn't live up to some of the great singles matches they've had during the pandemic. That's some really good stuff. But I thought, I was expecting it to be rubbish. And I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was good. So
good.
A lot of people are saying that it's not worth watching. But I had a good time watching it. So I'm going to say poo-poo to those people.
Yeah, good.
And say it was good. And you should watch it. And you know what you're going to get with the Tanahashi match. He's not working like he was doing in 10 years ago. But
yes.
And Shingo, I've said before, I don't think he can do those tippy-top match of the year matches anymore. I think those days are done. But I thought he sort of wrestled down to Tanahashi's level, which might be the reason why some people were disappointed with this. But I thought it was quite good anyway.
Joel, we're 25% year complete. This man is not going to be in a ring for much longer. And I know that people love to take the here and now and analyze and slice and die. Can you fucking cunts just enjoy this man's last? I mean,
what did you want? You wanted to balls to the wall, never style, like
holy
running
fuck.
The ropes, work right. Rate, head drop. They went hard in this match. There were some big moves in here, big dragon suplexes and superplexes. There was it was fine.
Please.
Better than fun. It was good. I liked it.
Good. I am going to officially state this for the record. I am not rating a Hiroshi Tanahashi match for the rest of the year. I'm just not doing it.
Yes.
Because
just enjoy them.
Right.
We turn into those WWE. Oh, if you don't enjoy it, don't watch it. But just enjoy it. We've got like you said, we've got months of Tanahashi left.
Right, the guy gave you everything he fucking could. I mean, everything he could.
And even now, he's working an insane schedule with singles match after singles match. He ain't hiding in no tag matches.
Right. Sit there. Just look at the screen and enjoy. And again, this is coming from us who hate that idea of, well, just don't criticize. Just like it and enjoy it. I don't know why that voice came out of me, but
he's one of
the
best wrestlers in history.
Thank you.
Shut up and enjoy him. You are not going to see many more matches.
Thank you. Thank you. He is not going to be in the ring for much longer. I don't care if he gets in the ring on these shows, shits in the ring, smears said shit all over him, G.G. Allen style, gives you the finger and leaves. I don't care. He's here for another handful of months. Enjoy it. Thank you.
And I think that's actually what he's planning to do in this match with Taguchi. I've got a parallel question to this, which is from Morning Pro Wrestling. If Tanahashi is going to have one big final match on his retirement road against an established junior heavyweight, which one would you pick? Look, he's wrestling Taguchi. He might just wrestle all the junior heavyweights. Kevin Knight, he's going to have a huge match with Kevin Knight. Okay, if you are planning this, what would you say, who should be the final junior heavyweight that he wrestles in his career?
You're not going to like this answer, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Show.
No. One last time. And I wouldn't have a problem with this one. Jushin Thunder Liger.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah? Well, then why the fuck you ask? I do. It won't happen. Trust me, it won't. Maybe, but I would have zero problem with that. But if we're being realistic and we're on the roster, I would actually say not Show. Would you have a problem with Kushida?
Yes, I think it should be Master Watto.
Oh God, really?
Oh.
How about a handicap match between Kushida and Jushin Liger and no.
Do you think Kushida's going to be in Best of Super Juniors?
Yes. Yeah. You don't?
I don't know. I'm not taking it for granted. I think there's a
He didn't do bad last year. Did he was like middle of the road, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you really want Master Watto to be Hiroshi Tanahashi's last match against a junior?
I'm just thinking it should be someone in Hontai that he can anoint as being like, you are the future.
He is not the future.
Okay, who is the Hontai junior ace then?
Oh God, there is not.
Future junior ace.
It is open. It is a position vacant. All
right, death match with El Desperado.
Now you're talking. Now you're fucking talking. Let's, you know what? It would probably be Despy or Hiromu, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the logical pick. But if we're trying to fucking be creative, I would
fucking
be
light tubes out.
Okay, yeah, let's get the fucking barbed wire out. Let's go one more time. Yeah, I would probably go. Those two are the logical picks. I'm trying to think of somebody that would be like a fucking left field one. I can't
really think of all one. Seriousness, not joking here, I would love to see him wrestle Dick Togo. Not as the final match, but at some point this year. Just give me like a 6 minute
squash match.
Tanahashi versus Dick Togo.
You know what? That might not be that. You know, when you said that, I did throw up a little bit in my mouth. But now that you kind of let it simmer.
Let me cook.
I'm going to let you cook. What are you making? That's not a terrible idea. In fact, it's a good idea. Like a solid. You know what? I'm finally going to fucking shove my foot up your ass kind of thing. It's not bad. How about, all right, I'll throw one more at you. And again, on paper, it sounds hideous. But I think the significance of it would be an incredible wrestling mind has been in the mix of New Japan Pro Wrestling for countless years. Of course, I'm talking about Delirious. No. But Ghetto.
Yeah, I thought that's where you're going with that. And I see the value in that as well.
But I will say this: you did spark that thought when you went Dick Togo. So
Taka Michinoku.
No, really. I'm okay. But like, all right, I don't want to shit on it. Yes, then. Yes. Make it his hometown. Like, fine. Make it eat lemons before the match first, or some fucking farming revolution match, whatever the fuck they are. Revitalization of some fucking farm town. Yeah, and they can eat stuff beforehand and throw it up on top of each other and then fight. That'd be great.
I don't know if you saw this, but on Twitter, the New Japan account tweeted out the highlights of that match between Tangaloa and Great Okan when they were doing the gyoza eating contest.
Recently?
Yeah, it was March 30th.
Why?
It was one of the On This Day tweets.
Oh, okay.
This day, Great Okan.
So what's his name?
The Cloud Goblin. Yeah.
Cloud Goblin.
He's out of a job. But then it was quote tweeted by Gabe Kidd. He said, "Don't ever share this fucking shit ever again. An absolute embarrassment."
Good job. I am in full agreement, Gabe. I'm right there fucking with you. I'm on board with that one. Good job. Yeah, why would the fuck would
right.
they
do that? All right, good. Third match is Bushi, Hiromu, and Naito against Jacob Austin Young, Callum Newman, and Jeff Cobb. Fourth match, Shingo and Tsuji against Dick Togo and Evil. Fifth match, Watto, Yo, Yoshihashi, Goto against Gedo, Driller Maloney, Gabe Kidd, David Finlay. Sixth match is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. The champions, the Ichiban Sweet Boys, Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles, against the challengers, Robbie X and Taichi Ishimori. Damon.
Well, if I'm staying on course and not shitting on Ishimori, potentially really good match. Potentially really good match. You think it's time for a title change?
Good question. No, I don't.
Is the Robbie X problem?
I'm not fully on board with him.
Okay,
I've seen him live quite a few times, and I can see the appeal. And I can see that he's got a really good connection with the Britrest crowd, but
not feeling.
I think the if this match can convince me on the value of Robbie X, then they would have done good work.
Right.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
Okay, I mean it's fair. I do love the Sweet Boys, both the tag team and the podcast. So I would like to say yes. By the way, you can isolate that and use that in your opening audio if you want, boys. I'll give you the demon bump, and that's not cocaine. Let it be very clear. I like them as our champions. I do not want to see a title change, but I got a strange feeling we're seeing a title change here.
Yeah, I can pick the champs to retain.
Okay, fair enough.
And the main event is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship hardcore match. Woo! El Desperado defending against Clark Connors. The bar is high for this. For anyone who's watched the Bob Sasaki Pro Wrestling Life, whatever it was called, the Sicko Show review with me and John Carroll on the $10 Patreon feed. So Despi and Takeda and Junkasai did some nutty shit.
Bled like pigs.
They did. They were bleeding all over the place. So if they don't do exactly what they did in that match and more, I'm going to put my foot through the TV.
Oh, no.
And send
Rick from Young Ones
on as the bill. Yes. No. Yeah. It's hard not to have really high expectations going into this because Despi is an underratedly brilliant deathmatch wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a sicko. I think Clark Connors has got a sicko streak in him.
He's down for it.
So I'm expecting them to do some sicko shit.
Here's the only monkey wrench. There's a big difference between, hey, I'm running a silly show at Corican Hall that will sell out in seconds because I have free reign being able to do all kinds of nutty things. And Bushiroad saying,
why do you think they would say that?
Because it was fucking gory violent. It was gory violent.
I mean, they've put that up on New Japan World.
They did. That's a good point. That's true. I mean, I don't know.
The only thing that would make me pause is Best of Super Juniors being... Is it round the corner? When is Best of the Super Juniors?
Like May, isn't it? Isn't it late May? Look it up. We have the internet.
It is.
Go ahead.
It will be taking place.
Yes, sir.
May 10th.
May 10th. That's not really late.
So that's plenty of recovery time for them to completely fuck each other.
Sever their arms.
Right.
Yeah. True. I don't know. Then I will put this to you. This is a hardcore match, which means we're going to be brawling in the crowd a lot. We're going to be moving some furniture. I don't see where we're incorporating a lot of the elements of the, you know, that gory bleed from every fucking orifice match. I can't imagine it being similar, though. I can't imagine it. I think, again, will they move a lot of furniture? Yes. Will they be brawling in the crowd? Yes. Will there be maybe a spot or two that you're like, what the fuck? Yes. I can't imagine it being a slice and dice job like we saw. I can't imagine.
I think it will be.
Wow, yeah?
I think both men are going to be bleeding a lot by the time this is said and done.
When you say a lot, are you saying from places other than forehead?
Yes.
Wow. Do you think there will be other objects besides the furniture at ringside incorporated in a match like this?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Look at you. Yes. All right. Well, I mean, that fucking does raise the bar a bit, doesn't it? I'll tell you what. If they do, this could be a match that puts both guys firm, not that they aren't already, but both guys on the fucking map. Like if they did, let's put it this way. You had three sickos doing what they do best. But now, if they put that match on a New Japan show, it would be people would still be talking about it. Trust me. If they come close to that on a New Japan show, people will be talking about it. I mean, just look at that. I mean, I couldn't be on the wild, wild world of web without seeing that. You know, nails in the back of John Moxley's back, you know? So if it gets a quarter of that type of violence, it'll be everywhere. I hope, I mean, it's weird for me to say, I hope they carve each other up. But I kind of do. Like, that's, I mean, that has the potential to be a buzzable match. So I can't imagine them doing it. But if they do, Joel, we might be talking about a lot. We might be talking about that match a lot next week. We might be talking about that match a lot if they bring out other things. Tubes, barbed wire, glass, dildos, you name it. They bring all that out. We'll be talking about it.
The big, have you seen the film Seven?
Yes, I did. Yes. Don't tell me, Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, right? Right?
That's the one.
Look at me. God damn it. Yeah,
the big strap-on dildo sword thing. Let's get that one out.
Oh, yeah. If Always Sunny, the ass pounder 7000. You don't watch Sunny, but it was a bike. It was an exercise bike this guy made too, and he had a dildo on the seat that would kind of move as he pedaled, and it helped him pedal more. And everyone was shocked by it because, you know, whatever. All right, comedy at its best here in the United States.
Despy retaining.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you think it changed?
I agree. Wouldn't stun me. I mean, that's. No, I think he retains.
And that's why I kind of went with the. That's why I kind of went with a title change in the junior tag match, just because Okay, they gave him something special there.
Yeah,
I just don't see them changing the titles. But I mean, maybe they flip flop it. I'm wrong, and you're right. It's all right. We can be, you know, it's be fun. We can root against each other.
All right, on to Sacrogenesis then.
Yeah,
and
John Carroll in the house. Am I correct?
Yes, John Carroll will be there live, and John and I will be doing an instant reaction review of the show.
Look at you.
I need to persuade John, or at the very least ask John, if they mind me streaming that on YouTube for the $10 feed. I won't put it up on the Super J-Cast feed. It is a wrestling omakase episode, and I respect that.
Yes.
But hopefully I can persuade John into letting the handful of $10 subscribers listen to that live. Because is that a reasonable request or is that cheeky of me?
No, I don't think no. Because again, it is a somewhat limited audience for us, and you know, it's still. Look, people have asked worse of us. You know what I mean? Ask. What time you got to wake up for that?
That's a good question. What time is this show? 5 p.m. Japan time. So, no, it should be quite reasonable for me. Good. Let's look this up. So, no, it should be on NJPW World, shouldn't it? It's usually got the different start times on that.
Mm-hmm,
See.
Once again, we still haven't figured out our summertime rollback the clocks. We every week we text you. Is it now or is it in an hour? And we've done this for at least a month now. It is crazy. But we do it every year. Like every year we go through the same thing. We just can't fucking figure out, okay, it's an hour here, you're over there, and then you lost an hour and then fucking stand on one foot and who knows.
All right, so it's Saturday at 9 a.m.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. If you don't mind.
Ask permission from the wife.
No. You here's what you do. You lick the thumb and you whoosh, 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 couple of those British pounds sterling and say, why don't you take the kids out, get something to eat, get something nice for yourself, get the whole house to yourself. Beautiful day. That's the plan.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
There you go.
Because it's the start of my Easter holiday. I've got 2 weeks off work, so.
Oh, beautiful.
What a great way to kick things off with a live wrestling omakase special.
Let's go. Let's fucking go. All right. Let's talk about this card. What do you got?
Let's talk. Kickoff match. Katsuya Murashima versus Daiki Nagai. I like this. I'm into both guys. Daiki Nagai has got the higher ceiling. Everyone likes Daiki Nagai. He's a little shithead and I think he's going to be a war dog in the future. Katsuya Murashima, though, I like his Sammo Hung aesthetic in being a big chunky boy with a pudding bowl haircut who hits people hard. And I like his kind of Power Junior thing that he's got going on. So I'm into this. That should be fun. Who won the last one? I think it was Morishima won the last one. I don't know. Maybe they're going to be trading. It doesn't really matter who wins, does it? But I just think it's cool that they are getting this stage, because having a singles match, albeit on the kickoff show, on a big show like Sakura Genesis, is pretty cool. I mean, they could have buried them away in a tag match or not given them a spot at all. But I think it's a nice show of faith that they are giving them this spot.
Yep, you got to start somewhere. And they've already started. So, yeah. I mean, again, we talk about it a trillion times. Boston Crabs aren't important. Make the connection. And it's a nice little stage. Get the crowd warmed up. Yeah, do it. Give me your best 8 minutes.
Then the first match is a special singles match between Yuya Uemura and Sanada. This one is a bit scary for me because I think Sanada has no business beating Yuya Uemura, but Yuya has already beaten Sanada in the New Japan Cup, if I'm not mistaken. So is he going to get another win? Yes, he should.
Yes, he should.
Sanada, I have very little interest in these days.
And opening match Sanada too. Oh, can you imagine?
I'm going to say,
go ahead.
Yuya wins.
Yep.
And then he piggybacks that into challenging for a singles title later on in the evening.
Ooh. Now you're cooking. You thought you were cooking before. You're cooking now. I think that is the path, right? And they do that a lot, right? The singles matches don't grow on trees in New Japan. And they do mean something. And, you know, he can take his shower and wait to come out and check. I think we're on to something here. Yes, I'm with you, Joel. I'm going that route. I'm on board with that. Yes.
Then it is the second match. It's the NJPW World TV Championship match. El Phantasmo against Great Okan. And I'm not holding my breath for anything great or even good here, because Great Okan is horribly inconsistent. I think El Phantasmo will have his working boots on. He'll be trying his best here, because he always does. But they just had anti-chemistry the last time they wrestled. So I'm fearing the worst here. Could I see Great Okan winning? Possibly. Does he deserve to win it?
Yep.
No. ELP retains.
I can't. I mean, I feel like every time we get in a situation like this, when it comes to GOK, we are rarely walk away with, yes, here we go. And most of the time it's, what are we going to do with this guy? And I'm tired of being burnt. Like I'm the dopey guy that's like, oh, maybe she won't cheat on me this weekend. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Oh, they're just friends hanging out. Okay. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And I think El Phantasmo doesn't have to, but for heaven's sake, I can't imagine watching blow the fucking roof off the joint. But I can't do it. I'm not. You're not gonna tease me again. You're not gonna fucking take me down that route. ELP wins, successful defense, and it'll be an okay match with ELP trying his damnedest and us shrugging our shoulders at Great Okan again.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Third match: Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Connection. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Shota Umino.
-3 stars.
Shota refused a handshake from Tanahashi after the New Japan Cup final that he lost. And if this is just like a sort of 7-8 minute Tanahashi playing the hits match, I think that would be really disappointing. I think there's a big opportunity here to continue the momentum and the upward trajectory of Shota and build on the good work that he did in the New Japan Cup final. And what I want this to be, what I need this to be, is an emotionless Shota Umino beating the piss out of Hiroshi Tanahashi and defeating him in under 5 minutes. That's what I need from this.
Okay.
And just like walking off, just staring at him as he's lying on the canvas. I'm just walking off, expressionless. That's what I want to happen.
Something has to happen because if we're being fair, to rely on this being a above good match, I think is asking a lot. So you kind of need a little bit of extra cheese to mask the fact that we got some pretty bland fucking shit that we're in for. In the sense of, again, we're not going to have, you know, just this blowaway match. And that's the only way you can go. Like, it would make, while, again, we're not talking about match quality or all that shit. We're not doing it. But we can also say that logic would scream at us that this is a perfect opportunity to get the ultimate babyface on his last tour and his, you know, the last Sakura Genesis for the guy. And we have a guy who we're trying to keep the momentum going, which in the eyes of pro wrestling fans and especially New Japan pro wrestling fans, you know, that can end rather, there could be a thick wet blanket thrown on shit rather quickly if things aren't moved forward. So
writes itself. You got to have but afterwards, Tanahashi's sort of staring regretfully at Shota, being like, "Oh man, what happened? He was supposed to be my protege. He was supposed to be the next leader of Hontai. He was supposed to be taking his company in the future, and he's going down a dark path now. I failed this kid." That's what we got to go for here.
Yeah. The only thing I ask of Shota is that when it happens, he has to look at his hands. He has to stare at his hands. Because that's pro wrestling, right? No? Is that whatever?
Have I just laid out an extremely NXT-pilled situation there?
A little bit. He'll whisper, I love you, and hit you with a chair.
I'm throwing another question from Daryl to frame the rest of on this. So he says, Tanahashi versus Shota is an interesting matchup. Tana is on the way out, but facing Takeshita in Chicago next week. And Shota is cold as ice. Now, I disagree. I don't think he's cold as ice. But anyway, does it benefit Shota more to take the L and rebuild from the bottom? Or do they continue the nonsensical New Japan Cup re-push of the guy? Honestly, after the loss to Okan at New Beginning, I was hoping he'd just go on excursion again for a good while. I don't think he is rock bottom anymore because he's a New Japan Cup finalist and narrowly lost to David Finlay. I think he cannot lose to Tanahashi. If we do like, Tanahashi gets an inside cradle and the fluky 1-2-3 and I outsmarted him.
What's the point?
I think that it would be very bad for the credibility of Shota Umino.
Yeah. I, once again, it's right there in front of us all. Like, you can't ignore the fact that this is a singles match against Hiroshi Tanahashi on his final tour. And we've got a guy who's, you know, kind of teeter-tottering on, you know, how he's going to mold the rest of his career. He's got to do something dastardly. He's got to be a prick. He's got to.
Anakin Skywalker. You're supposed to destroy the dark side, not join them.
Great. Yes, correct. That's it.
The symbolism is there with the hair going. All his hair melted off, didn't it, I think?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched that film.
Yeah.
Darth Vader's bald, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Here we go.
The parallels are there.
Yeah, right there.
That is it. That is the final form of the Shota Umino gimmick change. Full Darth Vader costume.
Red shoes, I am your father. No! All right, very good. Yes, there has to be some shenanigans there, and I look forward to it.
Would you accept
no.
Tanahashi getting the inside cradle upset win?
No.
And then Shota go mental and then beating up Tanahashi afterwards?
Oh, like a little Larry Zbysko thing. Okay, nobody's going to get that maybe if you're 107. Daryl, are you 107? Would you get the reference? So he gets the win. Shota loses his fucking mind and decides to get it. I mean, you could. I got to be honest with you. I'd rather see him find a way. You know, a shot to the balls is fine, right? And then more like destroying of Tanahashi to get the win would be perfect. Or maybe it's like a little clean match or whatever, and he pulls out like a little brass knucks or some dumb shit like that. I don't know. But that when nobody was like, no. Okay. I would say it's a possibility, but I'm going with a definitive, decisive, big time bully ish win. That's where I'm going.
Fourth match is the Never Open Weight 6-Man Tag Team Championship.
The what?
It is the champion show. Yujiro and Ren Narita defending against the challenger team. Taiji Ishimori, Driller Maloney, and Gabe Kidd. So it's possible that Taiji Ishimori is coming into this as a junior tag champion. Mm-hmm. Going for double gold. I always look at these never open weight matches and I look at the challenger team. And if the team looks really cool, then that probably means they're not going to win. That team is too awesome, right? Ishimori, right. Driller, and Gabe. That's a sick team. That'd be amazing. Imagine them as champions.
It's too good.
It's too good, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah. 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 It's too good to give them those titles. I'm telling you, I promise you, Joel, if you weren't reading that, would you have known the current Never Sick Man Tag Team Champions?
As a resident House of Torture enjoyer, I think I might have done.
Really?
Because I find it unforgivable that Yujiro Takahashi is New Japan champion in 2025.
Good point.
So that's why I remember that one.
You know, there are times where I'm like, well, they just get rid of that fucking title. It's so, like, they just dust it off in the beginning. But then you have weirdo matches like this, and it's like, maybe it is cool. I don't know. But no, I'm kind of firmly entrenched in that's too cool of a team to fucking give them those titles, to burden them down with those titles. Gabe Kidd, correct me if I'm wrong, still strong champion?
Correct, yep.
Double gold.
And he is defending that in America against
Orange Cassidy.
Against Ishii. Windy City
Riot. That's right, yeah.
April 11th.
That should be good.
In an Iron Man match. 30-minute Iron Man match.
What, are we collecting pinfalls on this one? Is that what it is?
Who is eating the pin in this match? Because
isn't an Iron Man match
at the Bullet Club
the most?
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about the. I've gone back.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many people that you would want them to take the pinfall at this point, right? Maybe Ishimori.
Yeah, I can see Ishimori getting hit in the head with the bar. The push-up bar and getting pinned by Ren.
And then he's already... All right, so... he'll be junior tag. A lot of fucking mental gymnastics going on here. I'm going to say no title change, and fine, we'll go each more. But not a bad match on paper. Interesting. Fire Pro-ish, kind of. But not really, because they're all in the same different factions. But you get my point.
Yeah. Sixth match is Never Open Weight Championship match. Konosuke Takeshita with his fifth defense against Ryohei Oiwa.
Ooh, here we go.
Lot of promise about Oiwa. You know, we all like him. We all think there's upside there. I don't want to call this make or break, but I think if he doesn't deliver in this match, if we're not walking away from this match thinking, wow, that was fucking great, then people are going to start side-eyeing Oiwa.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think on paper, it does sound incredibly sexy. And it does sound like a real opportunity for both to just fucking put something out there that's going to be a highly talked about match. It's there for the taking. But you're right. And it's not like we've had a massive body of work in New Japan. But you're right. You're right. And the dance partner, you're talking about arguably the best wrestler New Japan has. Does he have to win the title?
No, I don't think he has to win. But if you are in a big singles match with Takeshita,
you better fucking deliver.
If it's not great, then you're the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's too much to say that if this match is good and not great, there will be many people kind of like, I don't know, because you're right. There's too many reasons why it should be great for it to not be great. And if it's not great,
you compare
great,
with the guys who have gone out there and had great matches. So yeah. Oiwa's peers, guys like Oleg Bolton,
yeah,
and Yuta Uemura, who had killer matches with Takeshita.
Yeah.
That's the benchmark, isn't it?
This will be great. I can't imagine it not being. I can't even imagine them, even if they went out there and said, hey, you know what? Let's have some fun and just completely fucking sabotage this. it still would be great. I don't even want to say that loud, but barring anything catastrophic, like an injury or some shit, you know, we turn into a fucking Doki situation 3 minutes into a match. That's really it. That's the only way I see this being less than great. So is that additional pressure? Probably, but that's why they're there and that's why they're in that position. So, and there is that little, you know, that little bit of the never title that people, you know, still get boners over, the idea of that being the beefy boy belt. It can deliver, man. What is the one thing where you would be like, that would lean you toward it not being great? It's you know, one guy. So, all right. It'll be great, though. It'll be great.
Right then, it is the sixth match, which will be the IWGP Tag Championship match. The champions Hiromu and Naito defending against Callum Newman and Jeff Cobb.
Title change.
So it's the match of
both of them are leaving
without contracts who are going to leave the company. Right. They're trying to win so they can throw the tag belts in the dustbin on their way out of the company. It's a bit of a funny one. They seem to be continuing to position Callum Newman against Naito. So they wrestled prior to the G1.
Uh-huh.
I think, were they in the same block in the G1? And then they were in the New Japan Cup together and Callum Newman is still sort of like, Naito. So,
well, he's one guy that needs to fucking step up. Let's be very clear.
Correct.
If there's anybody on that roster that needs to give, you know, if we're hand waving anybody at this point, like he's on the hand waving chopping block. So he's got to deliver. Cobb, you know what you're getting with Cobb. Naito, you know what you're getting. Neither of them. I was going to say never mind. I feel like he's got to pick up the win too.
I think Jeff Cobb is not long for New Japan, so it would be surprising to me if they belted him up. And yeah. I do think, as much as Naito gets criticised, there is value in him and Hiromu having those tag titles because he's still a big draw in the company.
Right, and let's be clear. He's not going nowhere. Right?
Yeah, Cobb?
No.
Or Naito?
Naito.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he leaves.
He's not going. contract schmontrack. Cobb, on the other hand, yeah, you're right. There is lots of speculation. So, but again, I feel like this is I'm watching this match for Callum Newman, and begging that he shines, because boy oh boy, talk about needing something. It's not going to happen though. Like, I think there's going to be a successful defense. I'm just hoping for a fucking banger of a match, really. And I hope Callum delivers. I really do.
Meant to ask this earlier. In-ring Art says, doesn't Driller Maloney look like an 80s Judd Nelson? Definitely like the Breakfast Club Judd Nelson, like before Driller cut his hair. I can absolutely see that.
I'm with you. I'm telling you, he's just like NXT pilled, as you like to say. It's just, those are the vibes. Those are the vibes.
And I meant to ask this earlier as well. Dean says, previously, I believe Damon mentioned Kidani was willing to give Takeshita a major push at the top if he came in for more dates. Do you believe that is still likely? And where would you like to see him positioned for the rest of 2025 with New Japan? Because if he is signed on the dotted line and he is making this soft jump to New Japan, sky's the limit. You know, I'm thinking world champion. Let's not be fucking around with the NEVER title. This guy should be the ace of your company, who is the top guy that your youngsters like Yuya and Tsuji and Gabe Kidd, etc., are trying to take down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
Necessarily book him that way, but that's how I book him.
Right, but the problem is that, and I hate to be like the Monday morning quarterback here, but I hate these. I don't like dual contracts, you know, because you can't do that. How can you make him your top guy when he's fucking all over the place?
He dropped the AEW title he was holding, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know. He may have. He's you need commitment on both ends to do something like that. And if there is, then yes, I would. And I think that if the moons align, then yes, you do that. I would do that. And I think New Japan would do that. I think Kidani, I think everybody would. It'd be stupid not to. The problem is that, okay, so how long are these other commitments? And what exactly are they? And I'm not comfortable with free agent guy, kind of, not free agent, but you know what I mean. Like, he's all over the place. I don't like it. I want my world champion to be with the company. Thank you very much.
Very much so. Especially after all that John Moxley debacle. Oh, but yeah, if he is committed and is going to be working full time, then...
Trust me, they would do it in a heartbeat, I think.
Seventh match is the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Yota Tsuji, his third defense against King of Darkness, Evil. So I don't know if you followed any of this, Damon, but Evil was announcing that he'd seen the error of his ways and he was going to be wrestling completely cleanly. No more cheating, no more shenanigans, no more House of Torture interference. He was going to be like the paragon of strong style wrestling, doing it the right way.
Okay.
And that manifested itself in an untelevised house show, which John Carroll was in attendance with, and Evil and Dick Togo worked the whole match totally clean. John said the crowd oohing and aahing every time he did a basic arm wringer and not cheating, like they were losing their minds at that. And apparently, Dick Togo tried to do the Jinsei Shinzaki rope walk and almost fell on his ass immediately. But today's show, which was televised, Evil's first appearance was interfering in the Tsuji versus Kanemaru match and punching Yota Tsuji in the dick.
Wow.
So he did this entire bit of like, right, no, I'm playing by the rules. I've turned over new leaf entirely for an untelevised house show. that didn't even make it onto the Road 2 show that was on New Japan World. Wow. Evo is just extremely funny to me. Like, his dedication to the bit and his, just the way he will just go all out to just do something like that for something that only a handful of people are actually going to watch. I just find it hilarious.
Well, he's used to that. He worked a lot of New Jersey independent shows before. So he's used to doing a lot of stuff like that in front of no one. Yeah, good for him. I mean, listen, I would think it would be an absolute grind for a lot of wrestlers if they don't have a little fun, right? A little something to make them giggle. Maybe that was that, right? Good for them. I'm glad they're having a good time. Glad they're having a good time. I would, but that being said, I mean, I think we all kind of felt you can't. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're there to be dicky heels. So I'm glad they're having fun.
So what are we saying on Tsuji versus Evil?
That's a good question. I would like to see, you know what I would like to see. I would like to see Tsuji win. And I would like to see him win with an exclamation point. I'm worried about this one. Evil, here's the thing. Evil is a guy who definitely can afford a loss. It's not going to hurt him at all. And away we go. Is somebody mowing their fucking lawn right now? Jesus Christ. It's literally right outside my window. Made me lose my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Tsuji. So, yeah, I think he will win. He will successfully defend. But I got to be honest with you, it wouldn't shock me to see Evil win. Just, he's always there, Joel. He's always in the mix. He's like a fucking, what's the thing that sticks around for a long time on No Welcome? I don't know, you know.
A turd that won't flush away.
Now we're talking. That is exactly right. You know, he's always there. And he's always in the mix. I think it's 60-40 Tsuji wins. But you mean to tell me you're not going to be able, if, you know what? Not for nothing.
That's the sort of thing they do, isn't it? Like, thank you. Oh, we need to put a major singles title on Evil just so people take him seriously as right. A threat. And he'll lose it back straight away at Don Taco or something, but they'll belt him up just to shock everybody.
Right. And it, you mean to tell me everyone's not going to be on their tippy toes on every one of those fucking screwy, looks like it's going to be the finish because he hit him with brass knucks and he's luckily he kicks out at the, you know, like people will be on the edge of their seats because they built up this guy to be that guy. I'm going to say Tsuji wins though, but I think the match is interesting because of that, just that element of, we're going to get fucked over here. And if we do, we'll be angry and yelling at the goddamn TV. And if he wins, we'll be like, all right, fuck yeah, he got past him. That's pro wrestling, though. You know, that's pro wrestling. So I'm going to go with a Tsuji win, though.
Main event is IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Hiroki Goto defending his third defense against the New Japan Cup winner, David Finlay. We've all enjoyed the Goto run. He's been fantastic. We've had a lovely time seeing him wrestle these feel-good matches against guys like Nagata and Tanahashi. The title win itself was a wonderful moment. But I think the time has come.
The time has come.
For the Rebel Savior to be holding the big boy belt. And I think you could extract more mileage out of this Goto title reign. You could string it out and pop some good numbers and, you know, see, kick the tires, see how he does filling up a Sakajo Hall for a big match at Dominion. But as I said before, let's leave the crowd wanting more. Let's end it early, so we're like, no, we wanted to see more of Goto as champion, and then there's that hunger and desire to see him win it back again in the future. And
let's remember, though, Joel, he wasn't even supposed to be there.
Yeah,
you know. So anything we got out of Goto, and it's been great, has been fantastic. You know, it's been a nice surprise, and it's been fun. And is there still more in the tank? Of course there is, sure. But this is, you know, we talked about it you know, when we're talking about semifinals and even before the quarterfinals in New Japan Cup. It's like, this is, seems like it's, this is a David Finley show. And if he won the cup, then he was winning the title, and I'm sticking with it. And this will be, you had mentioned that we're in an era of, or maybe it was somebody you retweeted, I don't forget, but the thought was, and I don't want to take credit where it's not due, but here we go. We're in that beat the shit out of each other era, right? Guys fucking laying it in. And I think that's exactly what we're going to get here. And this will just be another feather in David Finley's 2025. And, you know, I don't think anyone 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever the case may be, was like, yep, that belt him up. But he's made the most of his opportunities. He's made the most of even not only his opportunities, but his, you know, the things that may have seemed like roadblocks in the past. Homegrown talent. And yep, it's his time. Yep. We're belting him up. Let's see what we do in the summer.
Do you think they should lean into the family dynamics and have the kids ringside and
I think they
make
will.
Him cry all that? Or do you think that's played out?
I think it's played out, but I think they will still do it. Just, you know, that's... Look. I think that element has its place in pro wrestling, as it always does. But I'm going to be truthful here. As much as I don't like the idea of kids being involved, and here's the reason. I know that that probably no matter what are they, like 10 and even younger, they're probably pretty smart to what dad does, right? Even with that said, I don't know. I just kind of don't want a kid to be put in a position to be that. I don't know. Maybe that's silly of me, but I don't know. It seems like a lot to ask of a kid. Whether they completely understand what dad does or they kind of get it or whatever the case may be. I don't know. Never liked it. But I hope they don't. I think they will, but I don't think it'll hurt the match. In fact, it probably will make it a little bit more special or, you know, kind of help further the cause for David Finley being a total fucking heel. But again, like I said, I just hate the idea of the kids getting involved in that and watching dad lose. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It was like a nice sort of self-contained narrative where they saw him lose. No, they saw him win in the G1, then they saw him lose against Finlay, and then they saw him win the world title. So just leave it there.
I
don't think the match needs them to generate heat or an emotional connection. I think the heat and the draw is in seeing whether he can retain the title without having to bring the kids
at home. I agree 1,000%.
So I say leave the kids at home.
1,000%. Now, have you seen, and I have not, so, but has there been much build with the kids involved?
No, I mean, Finlay's been talking a lot about them and sort of comparing to his relationship with his own father and how his father was a failure for not winning the world title. So he needs to instill the same experience on Goto's kids so that they think their dad is a failure as well, which will help them grow up to be stronger or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying that much attention.
Tell you something, to it. Didn't work for me.
He's been talking about it. But I think David Finlay can still be a heel and a dickhead and say unkind things and beat up Goto, and they can have a really hard hitting match and not have the kids involved.
1,000%. Leave the kids home.
Okay. That's it. Any last words?
Yes. My last words are good Jay. No last words for me.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling podcasting network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network.